You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. New from Moultrie Mobile, the Feed Hub offers first-of-its-kind cellular connection and control for nearly any spin cast feeder on the market. When used with the Moultrie Mobile app, you can monitor feed and battery levels, run feeders on demand, receive alerts when feeders are clogged, and remotely adjust feeding times. The Feed Hub is ideal for anyone who maintains feeders. Remove the guesswork and save time by planning feeder maintenance before you drive to your hunting property. For more information, visit MoultrieMobile.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the How to Hunt Turkey podcast. I'm your host, Jay Screer, and with me I got my good buddy, Damian Nisley. Damian has shot a bunch of birds. He's guided his little brother into a bunch of birds. Just an all-around good guy. We were out there bow fishing last night, and I was like, hey, come be on the podcast. And he was like, yeah, I will. So we got Damian here. Damian, welcome to the show. It's good to have you here. When did you start hunting turkeys? Like, were you able to walk yet, or did you start immediately?
I could walk. I started hunting turkeys going out with my older brothers when I was, I think, around 10 years old. So
wow.
Yep. It was a little bit after I started deer hunting. I think I started deer hunting when I was 8.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Yep.
You had about a 10-year head start on me then. So yeah, you got to hunt during like the heyday of turkey populations. What was that like growing up? Did your older brothers take you? Was it like there were just birds everywhere no matter what or what?
Yeah, pretty much. We didn't have a lot of birds growing up on our own farm, but we hunted a lot of public land. And I mean, it was crazy. I mean, we could go out there. There were times when we called in, you know, 5 or 6 longbeards at one time.
Wow.
I mean, just take your pick pretty much.
That's crazy. I remember you told me a story about bow hunting for a turkey. And like with the turkey population we have now, even the concept of trying something like that seems wild to me. But how old were you when you did that hunt that I'm mentioning?
Man, I can't remember the exact year that it was, but I think I was probably around 16. Because I started I started bow hunting deer when I was 15, and that would have been about a year or two later. So probably 16, yeah.
So what was that like? Were you just sick of just blasting them with a shotgun? You're like, I need an actual challenge now?
Well, I think I had seen a video, and that was kind of when, I mean, I'm not sure exactly when they started, you know, using these, but when they started using the guillotine broadheads for turkeys, you know, those big old giant, you know, broadheads, and you know, shoot them in the head. And I was like, man, that is cool. Like, I want to do that.
Yeah.
And my older brother Chad, he was like, he's like, maybe you shouldn't, you know, go right into that with the bow. He's like, you know, you can, you know, just get a nice, you know, big old broadhead and just, you know, just go for the vitals. And I was like, all right, cool. So yeah, that's kind of what got me going. I was like, man, getting a bird with a bow would be crazy. And like, at that point, you know, since the, you know, turkey numbers were so good at that time, my older brother would take me out and we'd get one pretty much, I mean, opening morning every single season.
Wow.
So I was like, yeah, let's make this a little bit more of a challenge.
So did you start with the bow that season then? Was it like a, or was it like a mid-season adjustment?
That was the first season. Yeah. Going in with a bow.
Okay.
And, I don't think I even hunted with a gun up to that point in that season.
Okay.
So I just jumped, you know, right in with the bow and I'm like, we're going to try this.
Nice.
So, yeah.
So like, did you have success that year with the bow or no? Like how did it play out?
No. So, I got on one bird with the bow that, spring, and it was on a piece of public that I hunted, quite a bit growing up, and my older brother had taken me out and, we were up on top of this ridge, and most of the times the bird would kind of hang out. The birds would kind of hang out like on the top side of that ridge, and that's where we'd, you know, normally pick them up. But it dropped down into this big bottom. Okay. And so we walked the top of the ridge, you know, we kind of trying to locate some, couldn't find any. So we ended up kind of going around the property down to the bottom. We get down to the bottom into this, it was kind of like a triangle shaped clearing.
Okay.
And just, you know, kind of some, you know, small cedar trees and stuff down there.
Oh, sure.
And so we got kind of set up down there, and my brother hits a call, and this gobbler fires up like 200 yards away.
Probably. Oh, man.
We're like, this thing's close. And like at that point, we were kind of like out in the open, like we weren't, you know, fully set yet.
Oh, sure.
So my brother just jumps back in like the tall grass, like right behind me. Mm-hmm. He just lays down, and he's like, well, you can't really get back here at the bow because that's not going to work.
Yeah, too much stuff
in your way. So I crouch down behind this little tree that's probably 2 feet tall, maybe 2 feet around. I mm-hmm. mean, this is a little tree, and I'm just crouched down behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So I got my bow, you know, and I, you know, clip in. I'm just, you know, ready to shoot. And all of a sudden, I'm like, man, where's this bird? Like, he just totally quit gobbling. And I'm like, all right, this thing is coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, well, it's going to be kind of a weird deal because we didn't have a decoy out yet.
Oh,
and
sure.
We're just like, we're just going to have to hope that he comes in, just gives me a shot.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just waiting. And all of a sudden, I hear a spitting drum. I mean, probably 10 yards from
me. Oh, man.
And I'm like, this bird is right there. So I'm like, well, I can't move because, you know, he came into a call, so he's trying to find the hen.
Right.
So I'm just waiting. And I look over, and this crazy turkey sticks his head around this little tree that I'm behind. He looks at me, and I look right at him. Like, he's right there.
Oh, my
probably gosh. 5 steps.
Wow.
He looks at me, and I'm like, all right, well, he's out of here.
Uh-huh.
He turns around, goes into full strut.
What?
He starts to spit and drum right there.
He thought you were real pretty.
Oh, my goodness, man. My heart was going. I thought I was going to pass out. Could hardly breathe. And then the thing gobbles. I mean, 5 steps.
Oh, man.
Insane.
That's what it's all about.
So I was like, man, how am I going to do this? So he's just, you know, sitting there in full strut, just kind of, you know, doing the little circles. And,
uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, he turns his back to me, and I'm like, Well, this is the best chance that I'm going to get.
Uh-huh.
So I just get up kind of on my knees, turn towards him, draw my bow back. And right then he comes out of full strut, looks up at me.
Oh.
And in my head, I'm thinking, you know, I've never practiced my bow shooting at 5 yards, right?
Right.
I don't shoot at 5 yards. I practice at 40, 50, uh-huh. 60. I mean, how yeah. far can I, you know, shoot a bird? Not how close.
Right.
So I get on him, and in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, my lowest, you know, pin is set for 20 yards. So I'm uh-huh. like, I'm going to have to drop this, you know, down a little bit, you know, whenever I go to shoot.
Uh-huh.
So aim low.
Aim low.
Well, at 5 yards, you don't aim low. No. You just point it at what you want to shoot, and you shoot. So I aim low, and I shoot right through his tail.
Oh, no.
Arrow went right between his legs.
Right between his, like, tail feathers,
yep.
then?
Oh, yep. my gosh. And he just took off, and that was it. No, you know, racking another shell in and taking another shot at that point.
A great bow fishing shot. Yeah. A terrible turkey hunting shot.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. I love that story, man. But one of the main things I wanted to get into today is, like, talking about permissions.
Mm.
And mm-hmm. I remember, like, you and I, when we started really hanging out a couple years ago, I was, like, always talking to you about, like, permissions, because you were talking about how they're in the bottoms, they're close to your mm-hmm. house and on land you could hunt. You're like, man, birds are just not happening. And yeah. like all year I was like, man, you should be, you know, you should go find permissions. And you're mm-hmm. kind of like, well, no,
yeah.
I shouldn't. Or you're just like, you know, those opportunities don't always just fall out of the sky.
Right.
But fast forward like a year, and you now have turkey hunting permission on like, what, 5 places or something yeah. like that?
Yep.
Not to mention all the public land you hunt. And I think mm-hmm. that, like, when I think of somebody who, like, if they're not going to shoot a turkey, it's not because they don't have enough land to hunt. Like, it's something else that went wrong. Mm-hmm. I think of you because you've put in that time, and like, you're a great example of how, like, one permission turns into another, kind of snowballs. And then all of a sudden, like, this year, you've gotten a new place just because you were working down the road from a place yep. that had some birds on it. Yep. So I want to kind of just break this down. Like, So the permission piece that I remember you getting like first, mm-hmm. Did it start, let's see, it did start out as you hunted it for turkey first, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so how did that one come about?
So that's kind of a fun story. I was over at a family gathering at one of my aunt's places, mm-hmm. and there was a family friend there, and he was hanging out, and I was talking to, I think, my dad, and I was just like, man, it's so hard to find, you know, land around here with turkeys on it that's not hunted.
Yeah.
I mean, our area gets hunted so hard. I mean, we've got people from out of state, you know, coming mm-hmm. in, and it's just crazy around here. So, and, you know, we were talking about it, and he was, you know, within earshot of us, and he looks over at me, and he's like, hey, I've got a bunch of turkeys on my place. And I was like, okay. It's like, do you? And he's like, yep. And I was like, so does anyone hunt it? He's like, no.
Wow.
I'm like, okay. I was like, would you let a guy hunt out there? I'm like, yeah, sure.
Wow.
And I was like, all right. I was like, can I hunt it? He's like, yeah, you can. And I was like, all right. Kind of had to, you know, fish it out a little bit.
Sure, but, yeah.
Yeah. So, yep, he's got really nice cropland with, you know, some timber on it. And then he's got one timber place that's just beautiful. It's a nice spot. So
yeah, and that's the spot where you guys have killed three turkeys in three hunts, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
That's just wild. That's great statistics right there. Yeah. And that just goes to show you how like a little time getting permission can be worth so much time out there, you know, scout, like you mm-hmm. can scout for birds in a place where there aren't birds,
right?
And it's not going to bring you any closer to shooting a bird.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can spend a little time trying to get a permission, you might have the most productive spot you've ever seen in your life. And that's like almost what seems like happened here. Like, so you had to like actually talk to somebody. Mm-hmm. That's a big like barrier to entry.
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember we would talk about this a lot and you'd mm-hmm. be like, yeah, but I don't want to ever ask anybody to turkey hunt. Uh-huh. So what you're getting at is if you want to get more permissions, you have to talk to people.
Yep.
Shocking.
Yep. Yeah. And I mean, that one just kind of, you know, fell into my lap. And sadly, it doesn't always happen like that.
Right.
You know, most of the times you got to put in the work. And I mean, that's, you know, a big thing. I mean, you've got to, you know, get out there and talk to people and spend some time doing it. And I mean, there's, you're going to get like a lot of no's. I mean, you're going to talk to a lot of people that are just like, nope.
Mm-hmm.
But if you talk to 10 people, there's a good chance not all, you know, 10 of them are going to say no.
So. That's the truth. You know, if you took somebody out fishing and you're mm-hmm. like, hey, let's see, let's cast over here. And they're like, well, I don't want to cast. I might not catch a fish.
Right.
They're like, well, dude, you've missed the whole point. You've got to cast to catch a fish and you've got to talk to people to get a permission
mm-hmm.
and you've got to get those no's before you can get those yeses. Yeah. I think a lot of times, and you know, I think that there's something to this too. Like you are in a real natural setting, just being who you are. And I think it's a lot easier to like gain a permission, just being yourself. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people think that they've got to like become some person that they're not really.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're going to come up to somebody's door decked out in camo in the middle of a hunt and be like, hey, can I hunt out here? And people are going to be like, what is this ruffian?
Yeah.
Like, you want to get up, you want to get in there, you want to look presentable, and you want to try to not do a cold approach as much as possible. Mm-hmm. Like, you'll still get success. You got to do those cold approaches. But, like, if you know somebody who knows somebody or somebody overhears you at a function, you know, mm-hmm. you got to just flesh that stuff out. Cause you know, he could have mentioned his place having turkeys and you could have been like, huh, and just gone right on.
Yep,
but you're like, you were in that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, how can I leverage this to get more, you know, places to hunt? And that's not the only reason you're interacting with these people. Right. But it's a thing of mutual interest.
Mm-hmm.
He was interested in having less turkeys on his land and you were interested in helping, right?
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
So how long was it from when you first met this guy to when you like first hunted his place?
So, I haven't gotten to know him, you know, too great, but mm-hmm. he's been a long time, you know, friend of my grandpa and some of my aunts. So,
yeah.
Yep. So I've known him several years, but mm-hmm. just never really talked to him much.
Sure.
Definitely not about hunting, you know?
Right. So he gave you kind of verbal permission, right?
Mm-hmm.
But not like anything fully fleshed out that day, right?
Right. No.
So how long between that interaction and when you went on like the first hunt out at his place? Was that like
real soon? I think that was several weeks before turkey season started. So you know, after that, I got his number and, you know, called him up and I'm like, hey, so is it okay if we come out and, you know, turkey hunt in your place this season? And he was like, yep, come on out. So,
yeah, that's great to like get that confirmation. Cause mm-hmm. I think that like just making sure you're in good communication with the landowner is really 100%. Important. Cause that's like with all my permission pieces, I feel like that's about all I do is I just make sure that they're clear on what I'm doing. And maybe that's because one of my main permission pieces, the first time I like was really out there hunting, this dude comes in with a pistol in his pocket, honking his horn, yelling, "Where are you?" And I had to like climb down out of the tree and go be like, "Oh no, I do have permission here." You know, it was just a misunderstanding. But ever since that, I've really tried to make sure I was very clear with the landowner on what was going on.
That's a good point there. Definitely just making sure that they know exactly, you know, what your intentions are. And I mean, also I like to mention too, that, I mean, I grew up on a farm, you know, so I'm used to cows and, you know, making sure gates are always closed and, you know, crop, you know, fields and stuff. So that makes them, you know, definitely feel a bit more at ease, you know, knowing there's not going to be someone out there just driving their ATVs across their wheat field or leaving the gate open and letting cows out.
Especially with the price of beef these days.
Exactly.
Watching thousands of dollars run down the road. That's gonna ruin your hunting permission every time.
Yep For sure.
So what was the first hunt like on this place? Like the first time you went in and hunted it, did you scout it first or did you just go in hunting?
So it was the night before opening. I think it was opening week. We had hunted youth season. And we didn't get any birds that youth season. And then it was the night before opening morning. And we had gone out there to his place. And, you know, I'd never been out there. And at that time, you know, I didn't have Onyx either or anything to see, you know, like the property line, you know, boundaries and stuff. So he went out there with us, you know, and he kind of walked through the place, which I didn't really want us to do that night.
Right. The night before.
You know, he's not a hunter, right? He gets us out there and he's like, yeah, I'll just, you know, kind of show you guys the boundary lines and stuff. And so we just go, you know, tromping back through the woods and I'm like, oh no.
You're just walking all over this.
Here goes every single turkey on this entire place.
Oh, no.
And we go back there. At one point I had done an owl hoot, you know, just to see if I could get anything to, you know, gobble back at me because it was right at dusk.
Yeah.
And he goes and pulls out his phone and pulls up this turkey yelping like audio on his phone.
Oh no.
And just turns it all the way up and just gets it going. And I'm just like, oh no. Like, well, this was going to be a good spot.
Right. And like, how do you explain to this guy that it's like fully illegal to play a recorded call?
Exactly. And I'm just like, what do I do? Here with him. Like, this was like the first time being on his place, you know?
Right.
And like at this point, I'm like, I can't mess this up. Like, I don't want to say anything.
Right.
So.
Well, and luckily, you know, you're not hunting.
Right.
And he's not hunting either.
Yeah.
So you're in a real like gray area there, thankfully.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So anyway, that happened. And then I didn't hear any birds that night. I mean, nothing gobbled. I mean, I wonder why. It was that next morning then me and my younger brother came out and like we get, you know, partway walked back in on one of the bluffs. And I mean, there's birds just gobbling like all around.
Mm.
So
was it like the middle of the day when you were in tromping around the day before? Or was it like,
it was like right at dusk.
I remember you saying that now because I was like, maybe there was time for him to get
no.
used. No, there was no time.
Nope.
So I guess something someone could maybe do that would be a little bit of a tip with that is like, if you get permission and the landowner wants to show you the boundaries, get that done as soon as you can.
Yeah.
So you're not in there the night before chomping around.
Yeah.
I got a permission piece once where the guy who owned the land actually drew me a map on piece of paper. And like, you know, wrote down like, this is these neighbors and this is a pond and, you know, none of it even remotely to scale. And I had Onyx and I was like, I can just like, but he of course didn't really grasp that, but you know, you do what you can to make them feel comfy.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, don't do this. Like, and I came across this piece of paper the other day and I was looking at it and I'm like, this seems like it's really important.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, it had all this information, and I was like, what is this? And then I remembered what it was. I'm like, oh, yeah, we can throw that away. I never once used that hardly.
Yeah.
But that's how it goes. But your permissions have not all been, like, super easy to get.
No.
Like, I remember you tried to get permission on the neighboring piece to this guy, which that's a great foot in the door. If you're like, hey, I'm hunting over on such and such's place. Yeah. Would you be interested in letting me in? Like, you wanted to get, like, what is just on the other side of the fence. Mm-hmm. You wanted to check in with that guy for deer season, right?
Right.
And that didn't go quite as smooth, did
no,
it?
No.
No.
No, I called him up, and I had some ground to work with there because, I mean, obviously, like you said, I was hunting the place next to it.
Right.
And also, I'd actually, I found out that I knew some of his family.
Okay.
So, I mean, not real well, you know. I just kind of, you know, knew him, so... I mentioned that, and we talked for just a little bit, and, he's just, nope. He didn't give me a, you know, reason why I couldn't. He didn't tell me that anyone else hunted it.
Right.
Just said no.
So, and that's perfectly reasonable. Yeah. You know, nobody owes you permission.
Right.
Even though you wish they did.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah,
so you've been on a tear ever since then. Cause I remember you got that permission. You went in opening day. And there were birds gobbling everywhere. I guess you should finish that story before we get too far ahead.
Yeah.
Let's get back into that.
So it turns out that all the birds, they were in that area. I have a feeling that there were probably birds that did roost on his place. And that night, us being back in there, we just, you know, kind of kept them off of it.
I see.
They all flew up to roost because we got back there and I got back to his line fence. And there were birds, I mean, just on the other side of
it. Okay.
So I backed up about 40-50 yards, and then we set up there, put a decoy out, and
just,
I mean,
like a single hen. What
yeah,
were you running?
Yeah, single hen. Yep.
Okay, like feeding or
it's like the alert. Yeah.
Okay.
Hen.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So we put that out, and we get back about 30 yards from the line fence set up, and I think we counted 7 birds just down in that draw that morning.
Wow.
just going crazy down there. So We set up, called right as it was getting light, and they're all just gobbling right back. I mean, just talking to us really nice. So I was like, this just might work. So right after, it got light enough for them to start coming down, we heard some hens down there, and I was like, well, they're probably going to get, hung up with these hens.
Right.
And pretty quick, I had called again. And this one gobbled, and I'm like, that didn't sound as far this time.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, this might be happening. So, I just gave him a little bit, called again, and he gobbles like about 60 yards.
Mm.
And then I heard him spit and drum, and I'm like, all right, yeah, he's getting fired up. And then pretty soon we see his head poke up just on the other side of the fence,
mm-hmm.
kind of walked up where there's kind of a clearing, and he went into full strut,
mm-hmm.
kind of sat there, walked back and forth. I don't think that he ever even saw the decoy because there was underbrush there,
That's a good place to call. If you're somewhere where a bird can't see you from 300 yards away, that's where your calling is most effective.
Yeah, for sure.
Because, if they can, look at you from a distance and just pick apart everything that's not quite right, I think that's a lot of times why calling setups break down. But, if you're in there where they have to come see you if they want to know what you're all about, it's like, to use a example from my life, like when my wife is in the other end of the house and is yelling at me, I know that I'm just going to have to walk all the way to the other end of the house if I want to know what's going on.
Right.
Because we're not going to just stand there and yell across the house. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. So he gets up to the fence, and I mean, how turkeys are about crossing fences. Mm-hmm. They don't always do it. They don't like to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, well, maybe he'll just, hang up there at about 60 yards and we aren't going to be able to get a shot at him.
Mm-hmm.
And I hit that call again and he just hammered back. And I'm like, all right.
Mm.
And all of a sudden he goes and ducks underneath the fence and he's right there at about 30 yards. And
man,
my brother puts a hammer on him.
Dude,
drops
that's
him,
awesome.
So.
Yeah, it's so funny. Once they decide they want to cross a fence, it's like they've never had an issue doing that in their entire life. But if they have not decided they want to cross that fence, it's like it's impossible for them or something.
Yeah,
like that.
For sure.
It's ridiculous. So that was your first hunt on that place. Bird is down.
Yep.
That's pretty good odds already.
Yeah.
So you and I actually ended up shooting a turkey on the same exact day this past year. Mm-hmm. And we were talking back and forth. I shot mine right off the roost. These three toms came in out of nowhere, and one of them didn't make it out of there. And I remember I had messaged you a picture because we were texting back and forth, as you do. And I got all my stuff like packed up, and I packed the bird back, you know, the old one trip. So as I'm notorious for carrying way too much stuff. I have my camera that weighs way too much. You know, everything weighs too much. But, you know, if you just do it, it's fine. Mm-hmm. So I got back to the truck, and I looked at my phone, and I saw that I had a picture message from you and a missed call. And I was like, there's no way.
Wait.
So I called you, and you told me all about it. So this would have been the second hunt on that same place. Mm-hmm. How long was this after your first hunt on that place?
I think I hunted public the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And it couldn't have been more than a day or two after.
Let's see. I'm remembering you wanted to give it a few days, and you actually gained another permission, didn't you? And hunted a spot and missed a bird and then came back. Yeah. Yep. Not to remind you of.
I think it was like 2 days later.
Yeah.
Because I think I hunted one day in between on that other place.
Tell me about getting this other permission, too. Yeah, so like you've gotten a just golden place. Mm-hmm. You go in. Wham, you shoot a bird right off, but you're still hunting public and you're still trying to get more permissions. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people would just be like, I'm going to rest on my laurels for a little while, but not you. You were just, you're back in there after it.
Yep. Yeah. So the next place that I got was actually my neighbor's place.
Mm-hmm.
And he is from Texas, and they don't hunt it. It's 40 acres, and it's back there on the river not far from us, so you know it's got a nice bluff on it.
Oh, nice.
You know, some mixture of timber and like big just open hay fields. So
oh man, can't beat that.
Yeah. So I had talked to him, and I was like, I knew, you know, they kind of like, you know, seeing the deer and the turkey out there. So I had never asked him, you know, if I could hunt it, but like I knew that he was a hunter. Uh-huh. But you know, they live down in Texas, and that's where they turkey and deer hunt.
Yeah.
So I got up the gumption to ask him. Actually, I think I may have talked to my dad and talked him into, you know, just kind of asking him next time that they, you know, talked.
Yeah, that's always good. If you know somebody who knows somebody really well,
right,
soften them up a little bit. Like, I remember this last year. Well, the bird that I ended up shooting last year was because I had my grandpa, like, call this guy and ask him if it was okay if I called him. So that he knew a call was coming. Because, man, one thing I've found out is, like, you get somebody's number and they will never answer your call. Mm-hmm. And you can leave messages and you can send texts, but if they don't know you're about to call, it's no good. So so that's the approach you took. You did the old, let's soften him up a little.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he would know my dad better than he knows me because my dad cuts hay on his place.
Okay, there you go.
So yeah, he asked him and he said, yeah, that's fine, you know, just stay off the feeder. He's got a feeder out by his house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I kind of hunted the other side of his property away from the house.
Nice.
And so, yeah, I got that place that day, and I went back there. I think it was around noon, you know.
Yeah.
Going after a midday bird
because
my morning hunt on, you know, public didn't pan out. Didn't get on any birds there. So I came back around noon, and I was like, well, hey, I'll just drive down to the neighbors, you know, see if there's anything up in his fields. And I got back to the back corner of his timber, and I hit the call, and these two birds gobble, like, probably not more than 80 yards away. Mm. And they're just right there.
Mm.
So
a bit like, unexpected, I would imagine.
Yeah, yeah. So I had no time to, you know, get a decoy out or get set. And so I just kind of drop all my gear, get my gun out, and get it ready.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, instantly, I just hear, you know, that
oh, man.
Just walking through the leaves.
So what was your hide like? Did you just dive into a bush or what?
So there was one of those massive wild rose bushes.
Oh, sure.
Right on the edge of this timber. And it was kind of open, you know, timber. But on the edge of this one cow pasture, there's this big old, you know, rose bush.
Okay.
So I was like, well, I'll just put that in between, you know, them and me.
Yeah.
And just hope that I get a shot at them once they kind of come around.
Sure.
And so I got set, and then I thought that there were two birds at that point, but I wasn't sure.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, I start hearing walking on both sides of this bush.
Oh, that's too much.
So I'm sitting there with my gun, you know, just going back and forth. Like, what do I do? Yeah. And so at that point, I'm just nerved up. I mean, I know that there's two toms right there just gobbling.
You weren't even expecting probably to hear or see anything.
No, no. So, and then at that point, you know, they're doing the whole, you know, trying to flank me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, what is going on?
You're surrounded.
Yeah. So I'm doing the whole back and forth, and they're getting, you know, closer and closer. And all of a sudden, the one on the right pops out. And he's right there at like 5 yards.
Mm.
So I like swing my gun, and I was too nerved up. My heart was just pumping. I was not ready. So I just whip around, and you know, at 5 yards, your group is,
oh yeah,
you know, little. Yeah. So I just boom, pop a shot off, clean miss.
No.
The bird jumps up and just flies off. So.
So your strategy then was like, so you're hiding behind this thick thing, which is both an advantage because they can't see you.
Right.
But a disadvantage because you can't see them.
Exactly.
I think a lot of times it's really easy to like get caught up in wanting to see everything going on. But a lot of times you're better off to get hidden because those birds have to come see you.
Right.
Like you got to make there be a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, birds don't do stuff just because you want them to.
Yeah.
You have to make them. So was your strategy just once I see them, I'm just going to swing and shoot before they can react?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. At that point, you know, that was my kind of, you know, rushed plan.
Sure. Camo by motion.
Right. Yeah. And that's definitely not, you know, my go-to setup ever.
No.
But with the time that I was given, you know, that's what I had. And I've done, you know, hunts like that in the past where it did work. So
sure.
You know, you just have to be able to hit a bird at, you know, 5 yards.
Right. Well, and, you know, things don't always go perfect.
Right.
A lot of times the bird's going to win, and that teaches you stuff, and that's what it's all about, is just getting that experience.
Mm-hmm.
I remember you told me, you said, my problem was I had 2 seconds to shoot this bird, and I tried to shoot him in one.
Yep.
And I think there's really something to that, because you always have a little more time than you think you do, seems like. But then, you know, that one time you didn't quite have as much time as you thought, you remember that forever. It happened to me last night when we were bow fishing. There was this fish just sitting there, big old carp, and I was like, I got all the time in the world. And I drew back, and I was settling. And for no reason, the fish just, yoink, was gone. And I was like, oh, I should have rushed my shot. But like, no, I shouldn't have rushed my shot.
Nope.
It's like, you want to take good shots or you want to just not shoot.
Mm-hmm.
But that comes with maturity and that comes with time out there.
Yeah.
You know, like if you've shot one fish and it's been an hour and you finally see another one, it's going to be real hard not to rush that shot. So,
for sure.
You know, you just got to take little lessons. So, you hunted conservation. You went and got completely surprised by two birds. They flanked you, surrounded you, made you surrender. And then, so you end that day. What's your mind state ending that day? You went from like no permissions to now you've got two, and then you kind of screwed up on these birds. What are you feeling? What's your headspace like?
And so at that point, I just kind of felt like I was back to like square one. Like
for
some reason, and I don't even know why I thought this, but with that first place, I was like, yeah, those other birds were there, but like they're pretty far on to the neighbor's place, you know, at the first place that I got to hunt.
Yep.
And I was like, we got, you know, lucky, called one up. But there's none that actually roost on his place. So
you went in, hunted it one day, killed a bird, and you're like, but this spot's terrible.
Yeah, yeah, this spot's not that good.
Isn't that how we do?
So then I went after, you know, my neighbor's place, got that to hunt, and then I went in there and just blew that one up.
Just whiffed
and I'm
it.
Like, all right, so now I've ruined the, you know, next place that I got.
Uh-huh.
Last place is no good now because we went in there and shot the only bird on it, apparently.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just like, man, well, what do I do now?
Sure.
You know?
And then, so you had like an embarrassment of riches. You were like, now I've got too many options almost.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So how did you narrow it down then?
So at that point, I was just like, well, I was tired of hunting public.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go back over to that first, you know, permission place and just walk back in there. You know, maybe if there's nothing there in, you know, the, you know, roost, maybe I can call something up like, you know, a midday bird.
Sure.
Because, you know, who knows where they're going to end up at that time, right?
Who knows the mind of a turkey, man?
Exactly. Exactly. So I got back in there, you know, pretty early. And I got set up, you know, right on the edge of his place back there. And there were a bunch of birds just down that bluff, like the first time, you know.
Really? Just gobbling? Just,
yeah, right there in that same spot, just uh-huh. going crazy again. So I was like, well, maybe this will work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I get set up, get the decoy out, you know. It's just starting to get light. And
same decoy setup this time?
Yep, okay. Just the single hen.
Were you in the same spot, or did you move a little?
I moved probably 80 yards.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Yeah, kind of up the hill, not towards the fence, because obviously I'd be on the neighbor's place, but kind of 80 yards up to the left from where we were.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I was set up there, and pretty quick, I was hearing a bunch of hens down there, you know, just they were, you know, yelping and mm-hmm. just cackling and stuff, and the birds were down there just, I mean, gobbling, and I could tell that they were with the hens, you know,
all the
different, you know, calls were coming from the same place. I'm like, uh-huh. all right, well, now they're all, you know, henned up.
Right.
And so I was like, well, I'll just, you know, kind of keep doing some, you know, calls and see if I can work anything up this bluff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, man, it probably wasn't 15 minutes after that. I could hear these birds walking down there. They kind of quit, you know, talking to me, but I'm like, they're right there still, you know, mm-hmm. they're not far.
Uh-huh.
So I keep, you know, kind of working them, and all of a sudden, I hear them running. Just I hear two birds like running up the hill, and I'm like, all right, something's happening.
Yeah, something.
So I was set up in like pretty thick stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, pretty thick, you know, foliage and stuff down there. And these two, I all of a sudden see these two toms, mm-hmm. and they're like probably about 80 yards just running up this hill.
Okay.
And these things are in such thick stuff that I can't shoot through it.
Okay.
And I've got my decoy like right out in front of me in kind of this, you know, more open area.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't even see it. They run past me about 15 yards, up past me to the left. Never saw the decoy, and I could not get a shot at them. I mean, they were in way too thick of stuff to even get a shot at. So they run up past me. At one point, you know, I hit the call again to see if I could get them to just, you know, look over and see the hen.
Mm-hmm.
And they just looked over like right at me where I called and just gobble at me and just run past me.
They're like, if you're coming with us, we're going.
Yeah. And then I'm just like, what was that about? Like, where are they going? Like, weren't they, you know, coming in to find this hen?
What are they doing?
They were just like, nah. So they just run past me. At that point, I'm like, well, I'm the worst turkey hunter ever. Just call in two birds that just get bored with me, I guess, and run past me at 15 yards in the uh-huh. in the brush.
Wow.
And that was all happening, I think, like right whenever you text me mm-hmm. that you'd gotten a bird.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, well, you know, at least someone's killing birds today. Not just out here watching them.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking every day of season uh-huh. when you would text me
yeah.
the birds you guys are getting.
Yeah. So I was like, well, you know, roost play is kind of over. I sat there for just a few more minutes, you know, just to see if I could, you know, hear any of the other birds gobbling.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nothing going on. So I was like, well, I'm going to just, you know, pull out of here and maybe go, you know, try some public land or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I get up, I start moving, and I walked probably, I mean, 30 yards, like, from my spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I just stopped, and I hear this hen down over the hill, kind of where those two toms had just come from.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, well, there's still, you know, something down there.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, maybe there's, you know, Longbeard with that hen.
Sure.
Who's just, you know, kind of hung up with her.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could talk her up here, you know, that bird would, you know, come with her.
Yeah, the best decoy you can ever have.
Yeah. So I didn't even put a decoy out. I just kind of got back in some, you know, good cover.
Mm-hmm.
And I get set up, and I just start working the call a little bit. And, like, sure enough, she starts talking back.
Mm.
I'm like, well, I'll just, you know, at least see if I can get this hen up here and see what's going on.
Yeah.
So I start working on her, and she starts, you know, coming up, and I can tell that she's coming in.
So when you're calling this hen, are you, like, cutting her off, trying to make her mad, or are you just kind of like, I'm over here,
I was just kind of doing, like some soft mm-hmm. yelps, you know, on the epoch call.
I gotcha. Nothing and, crazy aggressive, just gentle, like...
Yeah.
Because, man, a hen's curiosity will mm-hmm. bring her in pretty much every mm-hmm. time. Like, you don't always have to get in a fight with them to bring them to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So she starts coming up this bluff to me. And, you know, I could hear him start, you know, crunching in the leaves and stuff. And
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden I can see her. She's just right there, you know, coming in. And at this point, they were on the neighbor's place. I'm like, so I can't, you know, shoot if they're still over there.
Right.
but the property line was about 30 yards from me. Mm-hmm. And they were just across it. And so she comes in. She didn't see me. She kind of walks up to my left a little bit down the property line. And all of a sudden, I look and I'm like, well, there's a gobbler just right there. He wasn't making any noise. He's just walking. Just, you know, come in like totally, totally silent.
Totally silent. Mm.
And I'm like, well, this bird's in range. And I was like, well, I got to wait until he, you know, comes over here. And he was just kind of hung up right there on the edge. So I pull the old pot call out and just give him just a little, you know, kind of soft yelp. Mm-hmm. And he comes walking right at me. And I mean, he took like the first step onto the property that can hunt, and I just dropped him right there.
You're like, that's good enough.
Yeah. Yep. I'd gone up there then and looked on Onyx, and I mean, he was right on the edge of the property. I was like,
woof. Yeah. That'll do.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Good enough is good enough sometimes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Huh. So when did you did you have your gun up like the whole time? When did you bring your gun up?
So I kind of had my gun just rested on my knee.
Just kept it ready.
Yeah. And I had really good cover. I mean, I was nestled down in some buck brush. So I mean, it was up to my chest pretty much.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
So you were just well hidden anyways. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's hunt number two on this place that you randomly decided didn't have any birds.
Yeah.
And that's bird number two on this place. Uh-huh. So that's got to be feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
And then I think, so that was the first of May is when I shot my bird this last year. So that obviously would have been the same day you shot yours. Mm-hmm. So turkey season's really winding down by then. There's probably 4 or 5 days left of season. This year it ends on the 6th of May. So, I mean, at that point, your brother got a bird, you got a bird, you kind of wound down for that year, right?
Right. Yeah.
So coming into this next year, you've got at least two permissions. You've hunted public land a bunch. You've always grown up hunting it. So that's not a stranger to you. Mm. People would then think you'd be like, yep, I'm set. But no, still, you're going after these birds, right? So you got a permission based on somewhere you had been working, right? Is that the one from this year?
Yep.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about that. How's that one unfold? Because this is like a classic example of this is a cold call now. So we've got the friend of the family, we got the neighbor, and really I think with permissions it's good to let your momentum build.
Yeah.
Once you get one permission, you get a little infected because there's nothing cooler than going to a new spot and hunting it.
100%,
because man, there's so many people, and I was in this boat for a long time. I only hunted grandpa's place or whatever. And I love it, and it's great to be down there. But, man, once you get a little taste of a permission, and you're like, wow, I've never been here before, I think a lot of times it helps you be a better hunter because you go in with a fresh, dad's never told me the turkeys always roost here, which, speaking in absolutes when it comes to any sort of hunting is just setting you up to maybe miss something sometimes. Yeah. You got to be questioning that, right? Mm-hmm. So you go into a new place, you've got new energy. You've got new ideas. You've got new things to work with. Maybe you're used to always being in a bottom and you can never get anywhere thick and call a bird in. And then you go somewhere with, thick woods. And now all of a sudden, birds actually have to come up to you if they want to see you.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, I didn't think it was even possible to call a turkey in. Mm-hmm. So you've got friend of the family. You've got the neighbor. The ball's rolling now. So now you're just thinking about it all the time, right?
Yeah.
So you're working this spring, and what made you want to go after this place?
So we were building the barn on this property, and we were getting there about at sunrise. So every now and then, I would hear a tom up in the woods on the neighboring place, gobble.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, all right, well, there's birds there. And, and I know that area is hunted pretty heavily.
Okay.
So, I mean, at that point I'm just like, man, do I even like go after this? And that's one thing that gets me a lot of the time is knowing how hard my area gets hunted.
Mm.
I'm just always kind of like, nah, there's no way that this place isn't being hunted. Right. And that'll sometimes kind of, keep me from going after it. But man, you just never know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you find a place that's got birds on it or got deer on it, I mean, it's worth, you know, trying.
Right, because the worst that can happen, realistically, is you don't get to hunt that place.
Right.
And you already don't get to hunt that place.
You've got nothing to lose.
Yeah, you don't go downhill.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep, so that story, that's a fun story. So I'm going to start. It was about a month before that. I was coming home from work, and we were on a different job at that point.
Okay.
And I was coming home on the road that this barn is on that we're, you know, working on now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going down the road, and it's right at dark.
Okay.
And I pop over this hill, and I about hit this, like, 400 or 500 pound steer, black steer that's in the middle of the road.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, all right, well, this isn't right. You know, someone's going to hit this cow in a little car, and it's not going to be good.
Right.
So I pull into the farm right there that, you know, the cow is kind of on that side of the road. So I figured, you know, the cow probably lives over here.
Uh-huh.
So I pull into that farm, go up, knock on the door, and there's no one home. And I was like, all right, well, I'll, you know, try the house across the road. So I go back down the driveway, talk to him, and he comes out, and I was like, hey, there's a cow out on the road. I was like, is that yours? And he's like, no, it's a neighbor's. And I was like, well, they're not home. Would you have their phone number? He's like, no, I don't have their phone number. I guess there's some kind of a family feud going on there. So
the neighbors didn't get along.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, all right, well, we got to get this cow in because it's on the road there and someone's going to hit it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, well, I guess I'll just get out there and see if I can, you know, chase this cow down the road. So I get down there.
So is this neighbor giving you any any indication that he's going to help at all?
Oh, no.
No.
He's an older guy. So
okay, sure.
I was like, yeah, that's understandable.
Uh-huh.
So I get out there and I was like, well, I'll just, you know, see if I can kind of just stay in my truck and kind of, you know, push him down the road a little ways, get him to go up the driveway back up to the farm. You know, that way he'll be off the road. And
okay.
That should be fine for now. So I start, you know, kind of seeing if I could just push him down the road in my truck. And no, he didn't want to do that. He wanted to just run past the truck, you know, back up the hill. So I get out and I start chasing this cow all the way down the ditch, all the way to the road, get him chased back up the driveway. And right then this truck pulls in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not the owners of the place, but it was their cows that they ran on this place.
Okay.
So, you know, I didn't really meet him or anything. I was like, hey, you know,
uh-huh.
cow's out. So we like get the cow in the pen and, you know, that was it.
So you chased this cow like down the road ditch
mm-hmm.
back in.
Yeah.
I bet that was interesting.
Yeah.
With, like, footing and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. So I was at one point full out, just running down the ditch after this cow.
And right. Dude,
stepped in like this, like gopher hole.
No.
And my foot just went out. I hit the ground, rolled up onto my back and back up onto my feet. And I just keep chasing this cow. And I look across the road and the neighbor, that old guy, was standing there just watching me the whole time. He was watching the whole
just
thing.
Just watched you do like a full cartwheel out of nowhere.
Yeah, back up on my feet.
What's he doing over there?
Yeah, for sure. So those people, you know, pull in and they're like, well, you know, thanks. And that was it. You know, I didn't, you know,
so
really
was their,
meet them.
It was their cow. They pull in mm-hmm. to see you chasing this cow in.
Yeah.
How much of the chase did they see? Like,
they got there like right as I was getting to the end of the driveway back to the house. So they opened up a gate and I helped them chase the cow in, and
there you go.
They said thanks and I drove off.
On about your day.
So fast forward now back to when we're working on this barn that's about 2 miles down the road from where that happened. It's, you know, whole different piece of land there, but we're putting that barn in. You know, I've been hearing these gobblers up there, and I'm like, you know what, I'm just gonna drive up to that house, you know, and just talk to these people. So
there
I get up there.
That momentum builds, and now you're addicted to it.
So I get up there, you know, knock on the door, and this lady comes out, and she's just got the biggest, like, smile on her face. Just, like, looked like she was just so glad to, you know, see me. And I'm like, all right, well, even if I don't get this place, like, this will just, you know, like, already be great.
Yeah, so, not the normal reception you get.
No, they weren't trying to, you know, chase me off with a shotgun or anything.
Right.
So So she comes out, you know, we start, you know, talking, and I was like, hey, I'm, you know, working right next door on your neighbor's place, and I've been hearing some birds up here in the mornings, and I was, you know, just wondering if I could hunt it, you know?
Yeah.
And she was like, well, let me see if my husband wants to come out and talk to you. And I was like, all right. So she turns around, and I hear her ask him if he wants to come out and talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then she just turns right back to me, and she says, yep, he said that you can hunt here. And I was there like, okay, all right, well, that was easy.
Yeah.
So I, you know, look back, and I point to my truck, and I'm like, well, you know, this is what I'll, you know, be in out here. So, you know, you'll know it's me or whatever, and that's what I'll be doing.
Yeah.
And she looks at my truck, and then she looks back at me, and she says, well, yeah, you're that guy that helped us chase our cow in down the road.
What?
And I was like, well, yes. Yes, I am. That was me.
That's me.
So, yep, here it was, the same people, and they run cows on that place.
So. Wow. So if you want to gain turkey permissions, if you see a stray cow, just help people with that.
Yep.
But probably just if you know what you're doing.
Right. You know, yeah, you got to have good footing and be pretty agile, you know.
Right. Don't go mess with cows if you're scared of them.
No.
Or scared of a little trip, I guess. Wow, that's crazy. So it just was a full circle moment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a great example of, like, you know, that was a cold call, but you didn't know this, but you had already established a rapport with these people.
Right.
And, like, had already gotten, you know, they'd gotten a chance to know you, and, you know, you made them feel comfy about it, and they were like, sure.
Yep.
So, fast forwarding from that, you get this new permission. Now, your younger brother, Jens, he's still youth season eligible.
Mm-hmm.
So, you guys went out last weekend and hunted for some turkeys. Mm-hmm. So, you went to your original permission piece, right?
So, like opening morning,
or what did you
opening do? Morning, we went to our neighbor's place.
Oh,
so
that's
place
right.
Just down the road from us.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's a big, like, it's pretty much just open bottom land down there. Some just real open, you know, big timber.
Yeah.
Kind of just that, you know, like real, like muddy bottom land stuff.
Uh huh.
And then just kind of open, like, cow pastures and stuff down there.
Okay.
And my younger brother had been hearing some birds down there, and he says, hey, there's a bunch of birds back here. So you actually, you know, came out with us that night and listened for birds on the roost.
So. Yeah, that was fun. And hadn't he been, like, just every morning giving you a report?
Oh, yeah, he was, like, always there. You know, he'd be there at, you know, like, fly down. He'd be there at 10, be there at noon. He's always down there, you know, just watching these birds. So.
And this is his last youth season.
Yep.
And he had said to me that he didn't want to go out there and just shoot one the first morning.
Yep.
He wanted to really hunt youth season, which youth season is 2 days long.
Right.
And,
it's not
you
a
know,
huge window.
The idea of trying to hold out for a 2 day season is kind of wild to me, but you know.
Yeah.
When you're 16, you got to do the things you think of, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, I mean, he just loves it so much, you know, turkey hunting and deer hunting and, you know, just. Like everything, he just loved the outdoors, and so yeah, he's like, I don't want to get out there, you know, and just shoot a bird at, like, sunrise the first morning.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, all right, well, let's see if we can, because if we can, then that's what we're gonna do.
Yeah,
like, this is, you know, your last youth season. We're gonna see if, you know, we can get you a bird.
Right.
So he's like, all right. I mean, and if we got a bird in, you know, first morning, he would have blasted it for sure.
Oh, of course, he'd have been ecstatic.
Yeah. So we sat down there that first morning, got in there, you know, like super early. We were doing a hen and Jake set.
Okay.
So we had the, quarter strut Jake out.
Okay.
Hen. And
so was this a feeding hen, alert hen? What kind
of
hen?
It was the like stand up alert hen.
Okay. And what direction do you face your decoys?
So I like to face the Jake, towards me.
Uh huh.
That way, you know, they'll normally come in and they'll face the Jake.
Right. To let him know
that
he's in
big
trouble.
They'll have their backs to us so we can, you know, get away with some more movement and stuff. That way, and their focus wouldn't be on us.
And then do you just kind of let the hen do what it's going to do? Or?
Yeah, that kind of just depends on, like, where I think the birds are going to be coming from. And, you know, since the Jake is pointed towards us, so, like, they might not be able to, you know, see, the like, his head and stuff if they're coming from the opposite, you know, direction of it, I'll put the hen facing out into the field or towards where I think the birds are going to come from. Mm-hmm. So that's just kind of the way that I do it.
Yeah, it's man, there's a lot to that. I never knew there was so much to mm-hmm. positioning, but I remember one time I was doing a decoy setup, and I had my hen facing to my right mm-hmm. because I thought the birds were going to come from my left. Mm-hmm. But instead, a gobbler came in from my right, and he just, like, never broke 60 yards. And he stood out there and strutted, and my hen is facing right towards him. So he's got no reason to get any closer because mm-hmm. he's like, she can see me.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to stand right here. Mm-hmm. And then, like, sometimes, you know, you hear people be like, well, turkeys all feed in the same direction.
Right.
You know, they're not just facing all these random directions. Yeah. But then at the same time, you know, sometimes you want one to kind of throw them off a little mm-hmm. bit and be like, hey, what is that bird doing? Or yeah. like, oh, there's one over there, and I can tell what that is, so now I'll come in and see what this mm-hmm. other bird's doing.
Right.
And I think that what it boils down to a lot of times is they are turkeys, and they have a small brain.
Yeah.
So they're just going to do random stuff sometimes.
For sure, yeah.
So you got the quarter strut Jake facing you. Mm-hmm. You got the hen facing out. Mm-hmm. And now how close are you to where these birds probably roosted the night before?
We were set up like 350 yards from them pretty
okay,
much.
Okay, so what was your strategy there? Were you worried you were going to spook them walking in and you wanted to stay back? Mm-hmm. Like, was there something you could get near so that you, like, could be a little more hidden walking in?
So there was like a creek bank that ran the whole backside of that place. And right on the creek bank, you know, was about 20-foot, you know, strip of trees, like the whole way.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to, just get up in the, you know, edge of those trees at the very top of this field and just walk that all the way down.
Oh, nice.
So we wouldn't have to be, you know, out in the open field just walking across it.
Right, because I'm assuming these birds roosted where they could see the whole field mm-hmm. yep. and have a pretty commanding view. Yeah. So you didn't want to be out in that open field.
Yeah, they were in a great spot for being able to, I mean, see that entire place.
Okay.
So, we got in, you know, like super early when it was still real dark. And got the decoy set up. And I mean, we got closer than what I really wanted to.
Okay.
We had kind of, I wasn't paying the best attention to how close we were getting to where they were roosted. And that's actually the first time I had been down in there in that area for like a couple of years.
Okay.
So I kind of forgot what it looked like, you know, how far where they were roosting was from where I thought I kind of wanted to, mm-hmm. you know, be. And I got down there, and they gobbled, and I'm like, man, we're probably too close. So we actually backed off a little bit.
Oh, okay. So you backed off after.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, man, that is the thing. I love turkey hunting with my whole heart. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite things in the world. I hate walking in the dark to somewhere I've never been.
Oh,
my. Not because I'm scared, but because I'm scared of spooking the bird.
Exactly.
And because I'm scared of not finding the right setup. And mm-hmm. I'm like out here with my red flashlight, you know, or my headlamp. And I've got it as dim as I can possibly go. And, you know, you're tripping over every stump, cracking every leaf or mm-hmm. stick or whatever. And you're trying to find a spot to get hidden. And so then you guys do find a spot to get hidden. And then you're like, oh, we're too close.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, we didn't actually find a great place to set up where I was wanting to go.
Okay.
And that's because I didn't actually know what it looked like down there. I mean, uh-huh. I was just, you know, going off my Onyx, and I'm like, you know, this is kind of where I want to be. Like, that's where I was wanting to be to hunt these birds, but there just wasn't a place to, you know, like get set up and hidden there.
Yeah, because so you can always look and be like, oh, yeah, there's trees. We can get hidden. Like, maybe not.
No. And, like, you can't always just hunt right where you want to. I mean, you got to be where they're not going to see you.
Mm-hmm.
So we got in there, and I was like, yeah, this is not great. So we went ahead and backed off, got up into some bigger timber on the edge of that riverbank there. And they flew down, and I could see them, you know, they're about 350 yards from us, just kind of right there where they roosted. They kind of worked out in the field a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The older toms kind of, you know, were chasing around these jakes and stuff. There were two toms back there roosted, and then there were six jakes together back there.
Golly.
Yeah.
That's a pile of birds.
Yeah, yeah. So
did you see any hens?
I think there were two hens with them.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So they flew down, you know, it's still pretty early. They're all kind of, you know, just milling around back there yet in the back mm-hmm. of that field edge.
And your strategy is like, I'll be a ways from them so that they'll eventually work over. Like, is this a place you knew they would end up, or were you hoping to just call them 350 yards?
So, my brother had been seeing them normally after they flew down. They would come out in that field and just kind of feed their way across to the other side where we were set up.
Okay.
So I was like, this is great. Like, we won't even have to really call the birds in. We'll just kind of, you know, be where they're going, you know?
Oh, sure.
So that was kind of our, you know, thought process there.
Right. Cause especially like when birds are in a bottom and they've got a couple hens around, there is no reason for them to ever come to your calls. Mm-hmm. Like, I've just seen it day in and day out for seasons at a time.
Yeah.
When you're dealing with bottomland birds and they've got a couple hens and you're hoping to call them across the field, it's just not really going to happen. You kind of have to bring some deer hunting tactics, right. Really. You got to, like, think about where they're going to end up, and you got to just be where they want to be.
Yeah. And, like, that's not always very, you know, easy to do. Like,
no.
Like, depending on, like, where these birds roost, where they like to feed. But, I mean, this was like he had been watching them, and he's like, they do the same thing pretty much every single morning.
Yeah.
They, you know, fly down, hang out in that timber where they roost for just a few minutes, and then they you know, come out in that field and feed their way across.
Okay.
So I was like, well, that's kind of, you know, just kind of a bulletproof plan. So I thought,
sure.
Well, you know, just,
so you thought.
Just
what do you
set
mean?
Up there, and they're going to come right into us.
Uh-huh. Wait, did that not happen?
That did not happen.
Shocking.
Imagine that.
A turkey didn't do what you were expecting?
No. So we're just kind of watching those birds cross the way a little bit, and, you know, gobblers were, you know, giving the jakes the run around, just chasing them around and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hit the call a little bit, and I saw this one time. I mean, he like, looked, you know, right over at us, saw the decoys. He gobbles, like, multiple times, just, like, you know, right over himself, just gobbling like crazy.
Man.
I'm like, all right, well, this bird's probably going to, you know, just come in across his field now.
Yeah.
No, he turns around and runs back into the woods.
Oh, man.
And I was like, that was weird.
Do you find that the more a turkey will gobble, the less likely they are to come to you?
Oh, yeah.
Because I find that, too. Like, when I got one that's just hammering, it's because it does not want to come to me.
Yep.
It's like, I'm right here. I'm right here. Yeah. I'm right here. I'm right here. Okay, I'm leaving. And I think a lot of times that's a bird that's been beat up. Or been messed with.
Or just an old bird, too.
Just an old bird, just skittish. He knows the tricks, and he's like, man.
Yep, yeah, he wants the hen to come to him, for sure.
Yeah, he wants to rule the roost.
Yep.
Okay, so he gobbles like crazy, runs back into the woods.
Uh-huh.
What happens next?
So at that point, I kind of lost sight of them all. The whole flock kind of moves up into that timber in a, you know, area that I couldn't see from where I was at. And I think you actually had to text me then, you know, just to see how the hunt was going. And
well,
I was like, well, I think it's over.
Yeah, because I had woken up a little earlier than normal. And I was expecting to have pictures of dead turkeys
right.
in my phone.
Yeah, because
but
were
instead,
just ready.
Yeah, I had nothing. And I was just like, what gives? Like,
yeah, what's going on here?
I was with you. Like, didn't I roost this bird for you?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, I was like, well, they've worked off into a place that, like, you're not going to just, you know, like sneak up on them. Like,
right.
They're in a really, really good spot, you know, to be able to see everything.
Yeah.
So I was like, at that point, I was talking to my brother, and I'm like, well, maybe we'll just, you know, go try, you know, something else.
Mm-hmm.
And right then he's like, hey, there's something, you know, coming down that edge again out of those woods. And here they had made, like, a big loop up into that timber kind of where they roosted out into the field and back down the tree line to where they had just been. And I was like, what in the world?
Dude.
And at that point, they all just came out into the field and they just started to just feed their way across to us.
There it is. Yeah. It's like how people say, once you make that call, they know you're there and they're going to come over.
Yeah.
Man, I struggle real bad with, as soon as I can't see a bird, it's like it's disappeared. I'm like a baby with no object permanence. Mm-hmm. I'm like, if I can't see that bird, it's gone forever.
Yeah.
But that bird is still out there doing something. Mm-hmm. And maybe sometimes they're just making a loop around to you.
Right.
Yeah. So that's where I, you know, a little extra patience with the setup is good. Mm-hmm. So you waited just long enough that you gave those birds a chance to come back out. So
yeah, because at that point I was like, well, this is probably, you know, over.
Right.
We can probably just, you know, go ahead and pull out of here now.
These birds have only just done this every day. Right. So now that they didn't do it once, they'll never do it again.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So they come out. They all start, you know, just feed right across this field to us. And at that point, there weren't any hens with them. It was just the two long beards and then the six Jakes.
That's what you like to see.
And I was like, all right, well, now we just got to wait until they get here, you know.
Uh-huh.
Man, they took forever. I mean, they were just taking their time, you know, just feeding around. They didn't care.
Uh-huh. And, what's your adrenaline level like when they first start heading this way? Because, you know, you're not the guy on the gun.
Right.
But, like, how does that affect you? Do you get more amped up when it's just you, or are you more amped up when you're taking somebody?
I'm probably more amped up when I'm the one with the gun for sure.
Yeah. Cause you know, like it's all on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but
there's that extra, you know, pressure there.
And that's what I love about taking somebody else is like, it kind of takes the pressure off in a way. You get to enjoy the hunt. You don't have to be like, okay, I have to make sure my heart rate's down. I have to make sure I don't move. You can just kind of enjoy the ride a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure. So, yeah, I mean, I wasn't, you know, that worked up because, I mean, they're still at that point probably, you know, like 200 yards.
Yeah, and there's
I'm like, and I'm still like in the back of my mind, I'm like, these birds came out, saw the decoys early and didn't want to come to them. So at that point, I'm like, man. And then right then, you know, the sun just got over those trees. And we were, you know, facing the east and the sun is just right on us.
No.
I mean, we are just lit up, You know, the camera was just shining in the sun, everything. I'm like, this is not good. And since we're in that, you know, bottom land, we did not have the best, you know, cover.
Right.
There's nothing down there. It's just big old trees.
Yeah.
So, you know, we were both just kind of leaned up against a tree. And, you know, for my camera and stuff, I had that, you know, camo, like netting stuff, you know, wrapped around it. And so that definitely helped. But, I mean, it just wasn't enough. And I'm like, these birds are going to spot us, you know, coming in. And so they just kept, you know, feeding across the field. And the toms were kind of, you know, hanging back behind the Jakes, you know. They were letting them get out there, you know, kind of come check us out first.
Yeah.
And once they, you know, got into about, I don't know, 100, 150 yards, the toms just kind of stop out there, and the Jakes cut into the woods, like the same woods that we're in, but, you know, it's just down the field a little ways.
Uh-huh.
And they cut in, and I'm like, what are those things doing? I'm like, they're probably going to pop out, like, right here.
Yeah.
Sure enough, like 40 yards, these six Jakes pop back out into the field.
That's a lot of eyes.
Yeah. So they're all, you know, looking at the decoys, like, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
They get up about 20 yards from the decoys and look over and just see us. And they're just like looking at us. And I'm just like, oh, well now it's over.
Now it's over.
And at that point, you know, they all just kind of watching us and I'm like, well, maybe they're not going to bust out.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden this one, you know, it just starts to cluck and make all these, you know, sounds. And I'm just like, you gotta be kidding me. So once he does that, they all just take off. They, you know, spook out of there. And the gobblers, they never got closer than probably 150, 200 yards. They just, you know, stayed out there. And once the Jakes took off, you know, they just kind of turned around and sauntered off.
There's nothing worse than watching your hunt slowly blow up.
It's the worst.
You know, it's one thing, you know, when the bird runs by you at 15 yards.
Right.
You're just like, what in the world?
It happens in 10 seconds.
Well, it's over. But when you see that first one start to act weird and then another one does... Like, I took my dad on a hunt this last year, and we got set up, and right at first light, this bird gobbles from the tree we're under, and it was way too close, and I was just like, oh, no. Sure enough, as it starts to get light, instead of just, you know, your distant hen yelp and gobbles, you're just hearing birds just, just like nonstop.
Oh.
And I was like, yeah, this is over, isn't it? And sure enough, I hear them all fly down, and I never see them. I don't know where they went, but it was over. Yeah. And so I had to sit there for 15 minutes and listen to these birds alarm putt at me, just knowing that it's probably all over. And it's just the worst feeling to watch a hunt just slowly unravel.
That's the worst, man.
So the birds are gone. You've spooked them all off. It's what time by this point?
I think it was like 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah.
So early in the day, mm-hmm. you're kind of sunk. Mm-hmm. So what's the plan now?
So at that point, we, you know, we just went and pulled out of there, and I had a couple of kind of pretty decent midday spots to check on public land. Mm-hmm. So we went and checked those, you know, since it was youth season, you know, we can hunt all day long. So
right.
I think we hunted until about 3 or like 3:30 probably, you know, mm-hmm. just kind of, you know, checking some different good, you know, midday spots. Never found any birds. And so that next day, we were like, well, let's go over and might as well just give the permission place a try. So,
ah, the Old Faithful.
Yep.
The place with no birds, but you've killed exactly. 2 birds off of. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. And at that point, we had not done any scouting over there at all.
Right.
You know, we hadn't even been in there since, like, deer season.
So you didn't go in with the landowner and have
no.
him play calls on a
no,
phone?
No, 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 no. We didn't.
Because it
we
works.
Didn't have him do that.
I mean, it worked good for you last time.
Yeah, 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 it did. Oh, man. So, yeah, we got in there. We got back there about too late. We woke up pretty late.
Uh-huh.
But we...
How'd that happen?
I don't know. Stayed up too late the night before and just slept through our alarms.
Oh, no.
Anyway, we got there just before it started getting light. And so our plan was to just, you know, walk partway back in there on his place, not all the way to that far back, you know, corner where we had got those birds the previous season.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, we'll just walk in, you know, part way.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just stop there and just kind of, you know, listen, see if we can hear anything, you know, gobble.
Uh-huh.
And so we get partway back in there, and it had just rained, so, you know, the ground was soft, you know, the leaves are wet.
Maximum sneak.
Yeah, so we're getting back in there just real, you know, quiet, and it's pretty thick woods back there, you know, so we've got, mm-hmm. you know, lots of cover and stuff.
Yeah.
So we get back in there a little ways, we just kind of stop, and we hear this bird gobble no more than like 100 yards away from us.
Ooh, that's close enough.
Yeah. Yep, just down in this draw. And we're about halfway up this draw, and this bird's like down at the bottom. I mean, less than 100 yards,
mm.
and we just freeze. And I'm like, "All right, we're way too close to this bird. Mm-hmm. We need to back up so that we, you know, can actually get set. We can make the noise that we need to make to get set up, you know,
right?
And not spook this thing
out. Because even though it had just rained, it's still gonna make some noise.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know." Walking back in there wasn't bad, but I mean, getting two guys, you know, set, mm-hmm. Camera up, tripod.
Taking your backpack off can be the loudest sound ever.
Yeah, for sure. So we back up. We didn't go real far, but we backed up the, you know, hill a little ways. We get set up real nice set. I mean, it's just perfect underneath mm-hmm. this cedar tree. You know, it's got some low hanging branches and stuff. We get, you know, set up in there. It's real nice and dark because we got those branches and stuff hanging down.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Just, you know, perfect set. We just had the one hen with us. So I put the hen decoy out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he just starts to just gobble. Just beautiful, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, and when you're down in a draw like that.
Oh, yeah.
And that bird's like 100 yards away or less. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's loud. That,
yeah.
That right there will get your heart pumping.
Absolutely. The amphitheater.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. For sure. So we got set up, got the camera rolling, and, you know, got some audio of him, you know, up on the roost, just gobbling and stuff.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, well, it's probably, you know, about light enough to give him just a little hen yelp and see if he'll, you know, answer back.
Uh-huh.
So I yelped just a little bit, and, I mean, he gobbles right back just, you know, instantly. And I was like, all right, well, you know, that might work. Might be able to work with this bird.
Uh-huh.
And at that point, you know, I was talking to my brother, and I look up behind me, and there was like this small field just up on the neighbor's side.
Okay.
And I'm thinking to myself, you know, there was kind of this clearing from where this bird was roosted up this draw, right past us, up to this field.
Oh.
And I'm like, that's the only field right here in this area.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I bet you, you know, like early morning, this bird flies down,
mm-hmm.
walks up this draw, you know, kind of in this kind of open, you know, path up to this field.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so even if like he wouldn't want to, you know, come right into our calls, like this bird's probably going to walk like 15 yards from us, you know, anyways.
Nice.
So at that point I'm like, you know, feeling pretty good about it.
Sure.
And right then my brother says, I think he just flew down. Huh? And I'm like, dude, it's like still dark, like pretty much, you know.
Right.
And it was, you know, just getting light enough that mm-hmm. we could see and stuff. And
of course, I imagine it was probably a cloudy day since it just rained, so it's just darker anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. For sure. And he's like, hey, why don't you, you know, call and, you know, see if he's down. Mm-hmm. So I call and he gobbles, I mean, 80 yards down the hill. He's on the ground.
Oh man.
And I was like, well, this is happening like right uh-huh. now.
Ready or not.
Yeah. So at that point I did not have the camera on.
What?
Yeah. Because I was so, you know, I'm new to filming mm-hmm. and everything. So I had a new camera that was yours. You let me borrow it for the weekend.
Yeah.
So I wasn't used to the camera.
Uh-huh.
Didn't know how to adjust the brightness.
Oh, and the I'm
like,
brightness,
since
yeah.
we're like under this tree and like we're so dark up in here, mm-hmm. I was like, if I have this screen brightness on and it's just like shining me like right in the face, it's going to like light me up.
Right.
You were like, thinking, I don't want this bird to, you know, see that.
Right. You were thinking like a turkey hunter instead of a,
yeah.
a filmmaker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
As you should have been.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So at that point, I'm like, I was just too scared to turn that camera on. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to leave it off. We're going to see if we can get this bird killed.
Yeah.
And so I called one more time and he gobbles. I mean, just right there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yep, there he is. So, you know, we saw his head kind of pop up over the hill and he comes up to about like 20 yards, mm-hmm. goes into full strut, never saw the decoy.
Man, again.
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know. It's just, it's just tough whenever you're in that much, you know, cover. I mean, they're not going to see a hen, you know, that right. close in that, you know, kind of cover.
So you could almost just leave the decoy in the truck at that point. Oh,
yeah,
you
and know? There's times that I do. I mean, I don't always hunt with a mm-hmm. decoy.
Yeah.
And, I mean, most times it's just because I'm back in the woods, you know, just trying to find a bird, and I don't need to be hauling a decoy around.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, yeah, most times I don't even see it if you're in that much.
Yeah, cover. Anything that gives you an advantage is good. So, mm-hmm. you know, if that decoy is going to give you an extra second, sometimes that's all you need.
Yeah.
Or if not taking the decoy is going to make you walk an extra mile, mm-hmm. well, maybe you don't take the decoy. You got to just kind of weigh out, what's my advantage going to be? Mm-hmm. Is it better to have it or better to not? And, right. you know, as you hunt, you learn a little bit more about what is an advantage. And you learn that a camera is like never an advantage. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, yep, he's just right there, you know, real nice and close, put on a little show for us. And he gobbles right there and it's just so loud, you know, down on that draw like that. And Jen was like, "Can I shoot him there?" And I was like, "Yep, take him." So, he gets on him and shoots. He does the whole little kind of jump up and kind of fly in a circle thing, lands back down. He's kind of standing there, kind of wavering back and forth.
Uh-huh.
Jens goes and takes another shot, misses, takes the next shot, misses again. Poor guy was so nerved up. So
uh-huh.
he ended up having to just, you know, run up there and do a little bit of a hand-to-hand combat with him. So, but, you know, that's part of turkey hunting.
Yeah, that'll happen sometimes. Yeah. But, man, props to him for, like, having the nerves to get on up there and finish that mm-hmm. job and not freak out and not,
yeah.
you know, if you lose your head on the shot, you got to be there with the follow-through.
Exactly.
Sounds like
yep.
it was.
Yep.
So that's three hunts and three birds on that place.
Yep.
Man, you made the right decision, too, with the camera, because the thing is, if you get the bird, you can take all the footage you want.
Right, yeah.
But if you are, like, putting the camera priority ahead, then you might not get good footage and not get the bird, and then you're like, well, what was I even doing here?
Right.
Like, the buck I shot this year, it was a classic rut situation. I had the camera. I had taken the camera on every single hunt that year. Mm-hmm. I'd gotten all kinds of footage. I was practiced up and I looked over my right shoulder and here comes a doe and here comes a big buck behind her. I had to swing all the way around and shoot this deer right behind me. Mm-hmm. And I never even once thought about the camera because there was no way. Mm-hmm. The only way to have counteracted that would have been to have one that's just always rolling. But mm-hmm. I don't really have a good setup for that yet because, you know, you never think about that until you need it. And right. now I'm like, okay, so next time I'm going to keep something on my head or something or on the tree facing out or something. But, you know, it's always better to choose the hunt than the footage. Yep. I think. Unless yep, you're 100%. Like, you know, if you're getting paid to like film on something, but you're not listening to this podcast if you are. So, you know, you got to pick the thing. So three birds and three hunts. Permission piece. Mm-hmm. You got multiple permission pieces. Opening day is the day after tomorrow from when we're recording this. So this podcast will come out like 3 days into Missouri turkey season. So what are you thinking? Are you going back to the first permission piece on opening day?
I don't know. I might let that one sit. You know, I'm still working on getting some other places. I actually called a couple different people on the drive here. So,
oh, really?
You know, I had an hour and a half drive. So
yeah,
called some people. One of them, they said they'd have to talk to some other people about it. They're kind of part owners in it and get back with me. So that one looks you know, promising. So
a maybe is great.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah,
I get real excited over a maybe.
Yeah, and I mean, we're getting, you know, close to, you know, season, but I mean, that's still not too late. I mean,
no, definitely
even
not.
on into it. I mean, you can still go after it.
Absolutely.
Know?
Well, I shot my bird this last year from a permission that I had gotten the day before, and it was May 1st. Like the season was almost over.
Yeah.
And I was out of options, and I called him up and I was like, hey, would there be any chance I could hunt your place? And you know, a benefit of a mid or late season permission is like, if they went out and shot their birds, they don't care to let you in. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like, hey, I'm settled. We've got birds. It's fine. Go in there. And that's exactly what happened. I went in, roosted one, went in the next day and got it. And that's what happened to me the year before as well. I got a mid-season permission and shot a bird the first day I hunted it. Sometimes, man, it's like you don't need to hunt harder. You need to talk to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's way worse. Sure. I would rather walk like 12 miles and try to shoot a turkey than to talk to somebody. But, you know, some people aren't built like that. Some people love talking to strangers.
Yeah.
And, you know, good for them. And, you know, here's the biggest thing. I know you. You know me. Neither of us are naturals at this. We don't want to do it. But here we are. You've done it. Yep. I've done it. A bunch. It can be done. So don't make excuses for yourself like, oh, I just can't really talk to people. I don't want to go try and get permission. It just makes me feel like, it makes my heart go up more than any hunting scenario.
Yeah.
Like I'm not okay for like a day, but you know what? It's worth it because the more you do it, the more you get used to it.
Oh, yeah.
Then it doesn't bother you to get that. No, it doesn't bother you to anything. And then you get more permissions and you get to spend more time turkey hunting. And what is better than that, man?
Yep, for sure. And that's like the way you have to like look at it too, is I mean, when you're in the moment, like, you know, I need to go and talk to this person, you know, try to get this place, you know, you don't think about the work you have to put in for it. Think about what it might yield, you know, later on down the road. I mean, don't think about talking to that person or how it's going to be. Think about how it's going to be when you're out there in the woods, you know, hunting those birds.
Yeah.
And how, you know, just awesome that's going to be and how much it's going to pay off for you.
Absolutely, man. So. Back to the fishing analogy. You don't go, oh, I'm going to have to cast this. Then I'm going to have to reel it in. You're like, man, what if I catch a fish?
Yep.
Man, what if I catch a fish? And that movement becomes something you don't even think about because you're looking at the result.
Yeah.
You're not looking at what you're having to do right now that you maybe don't like. And man, that's a tool for life. If you can find a way to look ahead in life to what you want and do what you need to make it happen, rather than look at what you don't want to do and say, oh, I don't really want to do that. And then wake up 10 years from now and you're not doing anything you want to do because you didn't pick what you want to actually go for and do. Same thing in hunting, same thing in all of life is like, hey, you gotta get focused on what you want and be honest with yourself. Am I really doing everything I can do to get permissions? Or do I like to just kind of complain that all I have to do is hunt public and it's so hard?
Right.
Like, hey, you know, you could probably get permission.
Mm-hmm.
Or, hey, all I've got is just this one place and everybody hunts around here. Everybody hunts around everywhere. You know, that's the interesting thing. I've never once talked to a hunter that's like, no one hunts here.
Right.
Well, actually, I got to amend that. Once I did, my brother-in-law in Canada was like, yeah, no one hunts here. But so if you live in Canada, man, just get out there. Yeah. But, you know, don't let those things get in your way. Because the thing is, if you want to set yourself apart from other turkey hunters, you got to do what other turkey hunters will not do. You know, I go back to this whole, like, in Missouri, 40% success rate turkey hunters. Those people are doing stuff that 60% of turkey hunters will not do.
Exactly.
So get out there today, do something that no one else will do, so you get to do what no one else can do, right? Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about.
Yep.
Just getting out there. And, you know, maybe you get a permission on the last day of season, and it goes horribly wrong, but maybe you have it for next season. Mm-hmm. And, hey, maybe it turns into deer hunting permission. Maybe it turns into, you know, it could turn into so many things. And it's all just about people talking to people and connecting. And I think that there's something really important about that, especially in our current day and age where nobody talks face-to-face anymore. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I would prefer that. If I could get every permission from a text, I would.
Yeah.
But man, when I'm talking to some random landowner who's telling me like the wildest story I've ever heard in my life, I'm like, you know, there's a reason that people have always liked to talk to each other.
That's just cool.
It's just a cool thing. And you might learn something from these people. You also might learn a lot of stuff you wish you didn't know. But, you know, that's life.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I'll say, too, like if you can do it, you know, face to face, do it.
Yes.
It's harder for people to say no to someone that's real, they're, you know, looking at, you know, versus over the phone.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely. That's one thing that I would say for sure.
Yeah, find a way to use your connections, find a common spot, get to that person, and get face-to-face, even if you hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it.
Yep.
Just do it. Awesome. Well, thanks, man. I can't thank you enough for being on the podcast. I really appreciate it. And to all the listeners, thank you guys so much for listening. You're the reason this is going on. And since last podcast, a lot of stuff has been going on social media. So if you are on TikTok, if you are on Instagram, if you're on Facebook, go follow the How to Hunt Turkey page. And hey, if you got thoughts, comments, concerns, you can send me an email at howtohuntturkeys@gmail.com. It's actually howtohuntturkey@gmail.com. Let me just correct that right now. So there you go. I thought about getting both of them, but that's just too much work. So howtohuntturkey@gmail.com. If you send an email there, I will get it. If you don't send it to that one, I will not get it. So anyways, if you guys would leave me a 5-star review, that would help me so much on Spotify, on iTunes, anywhere you can leave a review, that helps me. But what would help me the very most, if you got a buddy who likes to turkey hunt, tell them about this podcast. And you guys can talk about just how ridiculous it is or something. Or maybe you can talk about how much you love it. Whatever it is, thank you guys so much for tuning in. And we'll see you again next week. But in the meantime, take somebody hunting with you.